Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Intergalactic Radio Network, beaming to you from all over the galaxy. I'm your host, Nanu Nanu, Scott Patton, along with...
Una.
Martin Patella. Hey, Martin. How are things on Mars today?
I'm glad you picked my planet correctly. That's what my mommy named me, Martin for Martian.
Oh, interesting.
On Mars, I am the red, angry planet, the god of fight, war, and conflict. And I'm coming to you with a message. Conflict is beautiful.
I see. Stress is wonderful. Off with his head, right?
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Just yesterday, I was on a call with two other associates. We're working on a particular project, and I get really short with one of them. I just, like, tore into this. She's a woman. Tore into her. Just, yeah.
Wow. That's not like you.
And I'm thinking, where did this come from? And I'm realizing, you know what? I've been short sleeping for the last 4 days.
Oh.
I'm operating on five and a half hours, and I really need a little more than that.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing I'm acidic. I mean, that's classic, that the expression of acidic body is, you know, the sour mood. I mean, it is that. And I'm thinking, well, there goes. I think it's time for a nap.
It's interesting, actually, that you say that, because we normally record at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Pacific Standard Time, and on Wednesdays. And it was around 1 o'clock, and I didn't really get a good night's sleep last night, but normally around 2 or 3 o'clock is my kind of low energy time, and I recognize that. So I thought, you know, if I'm going to be doing the show with you, I need to, you know, I have to be focused and I have to be fresh and everything else. So I laid down for half an hour, and I put my iPod on with a little meditation musical type tape, and 20 minutes, and it was such a good recharge. And I think part of it was, of course, the meditative types, you know, stuff that was going in my ears. But the other part of it was just stopping. It was quiet. There's nobody around. You know, it's a beautiful sunny day. And just sort of stopping, laying there, and being quiet for 20 minutes. You know, I've managed to sort of work through some stuff in my head that I guess was sort of bothering me and that sort of stuff. And then just had this nice relaxation. And I think that's a really important part of, you know, a good life that we don't often think about, and you just brought it up, is, you know, get enough sleep, get enough rest, take that kind of cat nap sort of thing. And it actually reminds me of this fellow went up to the Arctic Circle, and he was studying Arctic wolves. Yeah. Maybe he didn't quite get up to the Arctic Circle, but...
Are you talking about Farley Mowat?
I might be. I don't recall the person's name, but he wanted to watch them, and he found that, you know, there was... Their sleep cycle and stuff was really weird, and if he didn't actually follow their cycle, he would be asleep when they were doing things. So he would, in the afternoon, they would have this hour or two nap, so he would have an hour or two nap, and they'd get up and do some stuff, and then they'd go to, you know, sleep maybe at 10 at night or something, and then he would, and then they would wake up at 1 and they'd rummage around, so he would get up at 1, and he basically ended up having like 2 or 3 hour naps followed by 4 or 5 hours of activity, 2 or 3 hours of nap, and it was a totally, of course, totally different sleep cycle to what we're used to. And he found that it was really beneficial to him, right? I mean, he didn't have any problem following it once he kind of got into the routine at all, which I thought quite amazing, actually.
That's right. Yes, well, you know, if we could all follow nature, just not have the schedules that we have here in our Western civilization, where we're all business hours and all of that other stressful nonsense. By the way, one of the sure signs of having too much stress is that you start putting on weight. Did you notice that?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's one of the side effects of too much stress. You start pacifying with food.
Ah, okay. So, actually, that's interesting, because one of the things that we wanted to talk about was weight, because, you know, obesity is really becoming an epidemic in North America and around the world. Actually, anywhere that people are emulating the North American
lifestyle. It's becoming a significant threat. You know, like it's, you said the word epidemic. It's becoming one of the most significant issues of the Western lifestyle, of the industrialized lifestyle.
Yeah, and what's interesting is one of the most obese places in the world, actually, and probably four or five of the top 10, if not more, is Polynesia, the South Seas Islands. And they didn't really have this problem until they started letting companies like Coca-Cola in, and they totally changed the foods they were eating and the way that they were eating. And of course, these are not, you know, wealthy places, so, you know, the people, once they adopted the Big Mac lifestyle, as I like to call it, they became really obese. They have rampant diabetes, and they just don't know what to do about it. And probably the best thing they could do would be to throw everything into a big plane that came from off the island and send it back off the island and go back to living the way that they used to live.
You know, this actually reminds me, another piece of statistics came out about diabetes in the United States, and the highest percentage of all the genetics were Native Americans. It's like 20% of them are diabetic.
Wow.
Not just a little bit, all the way. And of course, that's totally logical, because they are genetically hunter and gatherers. They are best suited for, you know, living with the bison and eating raw meat, or, you know, killing deer. And there was no grain or bread or you know, the rich cake kind of food available to them. They are genetically completely unprepared for this.
Right.
Whereas in the Middle East, where agriculture started about 6-10,000 years ago, the blood types A's and B's and AB's, you know, the Arab and the Jewish and the likes,
the Caucasian.
They are better adapted to being a vegetarian and to eating grains and sugars. So of course, you know, poor people in America tend to eat the cheapest foods, which is macaroni and cheese and potato chips and soft drinks, right?
Yeah.
Well, those are exactly the foods that will make you the most fat and will make you diabetic.
Wow.
Well, anyway, I have been doing quite a bit of research into, you know, the causes of obesity in America because of this project that we've started working on.
Right.
And so, yeah, I have my head filled with causes and what causes it and where does it come from?
Yeah, and that was something that we wanted to share on today's podcast, and we'll probably talk about it in a little bit more detail as we can progress through our new project, and we'll keep you up to date on it. But what would you say, like most people say, the main reason they're fat is they don't get enough exercise and they don't eat the right food?
Well, that is true. I mean, ultimately, it is, the bottom line is the energetics. You know, more calories in than calories out. I think I mentioned that earlier, is that our food habits have, what's the word, started in the days of farming. You know, like the, spaghetti meatballs or roast pork and sauerkraut and dumplings or roast duck and whatever. Those are meals that a farmer would typically eat.
Right.
Well, a farmer goes out and puts out about 6,000 calories worth of labor every day, out in the field or threshing the wheat or pitchforking hay into the stalls or the manure out or whatever. I mean, it's physical.
Right.
You know, the farmer's wife, in baking bread, you know, she was working the upper arms pretty good.
Yeah, there are
significant outputs of calories.
Right.
For these people.
And if you look at, say, the wanderer, the gatherer, right? The, you know, the Native American, you know, gets to, you know, hunts for a little bit and looks for, you know, berries and stuff, they don't put out ever that type of, I mean, I guess unless they're running after a bison or something, but I mean, they really
right.
don't, you know, they don't put out that sort of concentrated effort for that period of time.
That's right. No, it's all about conserving energy in that lifestyle.
Yes, exactly. And of course, now we have a lifestyle that's all about conserving energy too, right?
Yes. Well, actually, we just simply don't put out the energy. I'm sitting here at a computer all day long with my headset on, and I'm talking on the telephone. The biggest muscle that's moving in my body is my tongue.
Right.
But here's another interesting tidbit. I was on in a conversation with a fellow. This is like several weeks. He keeps calling me and asking me questions. First, he called and asked for some antioxidants. And I said, do you want to have a conversation about the whole thing? He says, no, I just want antioxidants. What's your best antioxidant? So I said, well, it's the H-, you know, the universal donor of the electrons. So he bought himself a bottle of that. Then he tells me, I take high dose of vitamin C and I take high dose of coenzyme Q10. And I'm saying, well, why are you using that? And he says, well, I have high blood pressure. So, we keep going like that. Well, in our fifth conversation today, he finally says, well, actually, I have had allergies, seasonal allergies that are bothering me tremendously. I, you know, like my sinuses are just inflamed and plugged, and my eyes are running, and my nose is running. It's just unbearable. I have to be on antihistamines, you know, for several months every spring.
Wow.
So I'm telling him, finally, I'm getting to the bottom of this. Finally, I'm hearing what's wrong with you. You know, never mind all of this high blood pressure and antioxidants and all of that. You are coming at it from the tactical point of view. You're chasing symptoms instead of looking at the causes.
Right.
So I'm telling him, he's Korean by origin. So I'm telling him, look, you should be eating like the Korean farmer. You should get some kimchi and eat it. And he says, kimchi's bad for you. It's salty. And I'm thinking, oh, look at that. Well, Korean farmer, when he was working, he was sweating. He needed to replace the salt. He needed to take salty food.
Right, right.
Right. Our Korean knowledge worker, who's sitting in his office, yeah, he doesn't need so much salt because he's stressed. And his cortisol is blocking his sodium elimination. He's building up high blood pressure like it's going out of style.
Right, right.
So we have this complicated problem. We should eat the healthy stuff as our forefathers did.
Yeah.
But we cannot because we don't work as hard as they did.
Oh, that's a bit of a catch-22, isn't it?
Yeah, we need to figure out how to keep the good things and not the bad things out of that lifestyle.
Right.
And it falls down that it's the grains. It's the carbohydrates. Because they give the most calories and they contribute the most to the obesity.
And they just, whether it's complex or simple, it turns into sugar.
Right. Yeah, we talked about this earlier, but essentially you need to run your body in such a way that it uses fat for calories or fat for energy as opposed to carbs for energy. Because if your body's running on carbs for energy, you're always hungry. Mm-hmm. It's a short cycle. You know, like carbs are burnt really quickly. So you get too much sugar and then hypoglycemic. Too much sugar, hypoglycemic.
So we're really, if we're looking at a fire, right, we're talking mm-hmm. about getting small branches and throwing it on the fire, and pretty soon you've got this thing that's just roaring and all this stuff and crackling and everything else. And that's the carbs. And it burns down, okay, throw a few more little sticks on it. Whereas if you've got the fire going and you throw a couple big logs on it, then you end up having these massive logs that are burning slowly. You know, there's not this kind of big bonfire thing. There's a little bit of flame, but really you've got this heat coming off of these logs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a totally different.
Yeah,
type of fire.
I think it's a great analogy. Yes. And so what if there's actually a signaling mechanism in the human body that that works with this system. I think we mentioned it earlier. It's a hormone called leptin, and it was only discovered in 1994, so it's fairly new as far as our understanding of it.
Right.
And leptin is generated by every fat cell in the body. Every fat cell sends out a little bit of this, saying, "I'm a fat cell." It's just like, you know, passing a little token into the system.
Right.
I'm a fat cell. So the more fat cells you have, the louder the noise from the leptin, right? Like, you should have a roaring message. If you're 350 pounds, you should have a roaring message coming into the brain. We're fat here. But if your brain is not hearing the message, if your brain has become desensitized to that message, it will tell you that you're hungry, and you will continue to look for food, even though you're already fat.
Right.
And that's what happens with this breakdown of too much carb, too much insulin resistivity, and the leptin message not getting through. And that's how this Polynesian that you talked about becomes so fat, because his signaling system breaks down.
Right.
So what do we do, right?
That's right. That was my next question. What do we do?
And there is no drug you can take to fix it.
No.
Hooray.
Don't say that.
Hooray.
I want a magic pill.
Oh, baby. Poor baby. You would like a push button simple. That's what North America is all about, right? Push button simple. Do it for me. Doctor, what do I do?
Doctor.
Give me the news.
That's right.
Well, so you need to fix the signaling system, and the only way you can fix it is if you reset it. And the resetting can only be done when you remove the noise. And the noise is the carbs. So the reset can only happen when you stop eating carbohydrates.
Okay.
And this was actually part of the secret of the Atkins diet. Because people would lose massive amounts of weight going on the Atkins diet quickly. And then as soon as they quit the Atkins diet, they put it right back on. I had a comical conversation with one lady. She called me up and she says, "I went on the food combining, you know, low carbs diet. Well, I lost a bunch of weight. Then I quit. I put on a whole bunch of weight. What do you have that I can do to keep my weight off?" I said, "Could you rewind and repeat the words that you just told me? Isn't there an answer in there?"
Right.
It almost made me laugh. I said, "Well, okay, so the clue is, when I don't eat carbs, I'm skinny. When I do eat carbs, I'm fat."
Yeah, right.
This is a dog moment.
Yeah, and no one wants to hear that, right? Because those carbs tasty.
Well, you know, I cannot tell you. I mean, my wife brings home, not often, a fresh baguette, right?
Yes.
It's on the kitchen counter, and we usually slice it up and put it away frozen, so it's always fresh. And we usually only have a little bit here and there or something like that.
Right.
But when it's on the kitchen counter, I don't think I can leave it alone. I think I'll just break off a piece, put a chunk of butter on it, and it's just irresistible.
Yeah, it is irresistible.
And, you know, it is. So even though I'm eating raw and salads and who knows what, I still will, you know, if it's around, I'll take it.
Which is a real clue to, you know, look at the food that you've got in your cupboard, and you know, bags of chips and baguettes and donuts and sugar cereal and
you know, the breakfast cereals,
all of those sort of things. take them. I was going to say give them to the food bank, but I mean, you're not doing those people any favors either.
No, you're, well, that's sort of as good as pouring your used motor oil down into the what's it called, storm sewer.
No, that's right. Yeah,
it's going to flow into the river, and it's going to poison the fish, and it's going to poison the next city down the stream.
Yeah. No, that's right.
And yet the power is really with us consumers. It really is. You know, if we don't buy it, they will stop making it. The reason all of this stuff is manufactured is because we're buying it.
Yes. Well, it is. I don't know. Is that a fair statement? Because there's a lot of advertising and influence that goes on too, right? You know, these people.
Well, we're listening to the advertising and we're buying it. You know, hook, line, sinker.
Yes. That's right. And that's one of the reasons we do this show, is to, you know, help people to get off the hook, the line, and the sinker.
Yeah. So a little while before we started, you were talking about a friend of yours that has had a magnesium experience, right?
Yes. Now let me just recount that for everybody, since they weren't listening in on that particular part of the conversation, and it caused a lot of what we've talked about to come up. She has a sister who is a doctor, and I don't recall exactly if she also teaches or not, but her husband is a professor at Stanford University, and he's into it was interesting because we had a birthday party for another brother of hers, and they were in attendance, and someone asked him what he did, and he basically said, I subscribe these big psychedelic drugs to help people get off of depression, right? And he was sort of joking, but sort of not joking, if you know what I mean, right?
So he's a drug pusher.
He's a drug pusher. I mean, that's what they thought, right? And they're both very much in the medical establishment. And I had told.
Do they look healthy, by the way? Not overly.
Not overly. They look older. Okay. They're probably 4 or 5 years older than me, and I would say they look 10 years older than me. But I think I look 10 years younger than I should. So. It's, you know, I mean, they probably look the right age, they look the right health for their age, but anyway, that's not necessarily a good thing. I hope they never hear this. Anyway.
They are. It is what it is. You know?
Right.
Like, I don't mean to be critical of anyone,
but
it's just, you know, look in the mirror.
Yeah. So anyway, my friend had told them that magnesium would be helpful, and I said that you can't get it in through the mouth. You need to, you know, soak in a bath. And they said, actually, the sister said, you know, that's not, you know, the skin's not going to absorb anything, right?
Yeah, it's patent nonsense. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Right?
So my friend took the magnesium bath, and she put probably a little bit more than she should have for her first time. And one of the consequences, and it's on the label, you know, if you take too much, expect to feel this, and it's kind of heart palpitations and this kind of jittery, it's like the inside of your body is just vibrating at a higher rate, really. And I've had that experience because I've done 3 or 4 baths in a row, and then after the fourth one, I was just like, oh my God, I am super buzzed, right? And you had warned me about that. So, of course, she had that experience, right? So I said, oh.
Right on her first try.
On her first try. And I said, oh, well, why do you think that happened? She says, well, I read the label, and it says, you know, you get these symptoms or these feelings, or because really not like it's not like symptoms of a diarrhea.
But they are heart palpitations.
Yeah, and I said, well, yeah, but your sister said that you wouldn't absorb anything. And she looked at me and said, well, my sister doesn't know everything, right? And I just thought that was just so funny.
It's comical when we encounter these medical educated people. They have such certainty about their model, right?
Yes, and they are absolutely, totally convinced. And
well, and I, you know, like in some way, you have to expect that, right?
Yes.
You spend 8 years of post-secondary schooling, getting yourself completely immersed. Actually, you know, I was thinking that medical school really is one big exercise in brainwashing. Think of it. They give them these big fat books about anatomy and physiology, and they go into such intricate detail. I mean, a doctor needs to know that the Latin name for every protrusion on every bone of a human body. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of pieces of information that they have to memorize. Or the physiology, right? Like every hormonal switch and you know, all of these things, how they fit together, and they need to understand the biochemical details of all of it.
Yeah.
So when they get so immersed into this, they have to study so hard that I think that it essentially creates this hypnosis, you know, a brainwashing technique that allows the schooling system then to just plug in pretty much anything, and it just becomes the paradigm.
Yes.
So I think it's a wonderful exercise in brainwashing completely rational people into what shall I call them? Deliverers of the sanctioned message.
Yeah, evangelical.
Yeah, that's it. Communist Party would be proud of them.
They sure would. They sure would.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you wonder why we have the results that we have, right?
Yeah, so I have more and more sympathy for the doctors. You know, they probably were idealistic young people who wanted to help humanity when they entered the pre-med. And out come these guys who, or gals, who only understand the one paradigm, which is every illness has a single cause, and everything that we need to do can be done with drugs.
Yeah. Whew. So I think we should get back onto this weight loss thing, because that's really what the focus that was a good tangent, and we go on this one every once in a while, and I never tire of it. Particularly when I've got a beautiful example of somebody saying something that just makes no sense at all, right? I mean,
yeah.
We've talked before about iodine, right? You put a square
yes.
patch of iodine on your skin, it's red. Now, you don't bath or shower or anything, and in 3 hours it's gone. Like what? It evaporated and the red evaporated with it and left your skin or what? No, of course it went in.
It got sucked in, yeah.
Why do we put hand lotion on, right? Well, because
yes.
it gets absorbed and you have nice soft hands. It just doesn't take... I mean, there's just so many examples of it, and it's just so weird. But to think that you could use that as a delivery mechanism for some healthy stuff is just... It's saying that's ludicrous is even stupider, in my opinion. Here I'm going on my rant now, because you look at the ads, right? You know, get this hand lotion. It's full of vitamin E, and it'll make your skin better. Like, why is... Vitamin E is not a health claim? What is, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, actually, it's comical, beyond comical, because, of course, you know, the Nicorette patches are delivering the nicotine, and there are scopolamine patches for you know, keeping you from throwing up if you're on a boat, and there are birth control patches that you can stick on your belly to deliver hormones and so on. So
yeah.
it's not that the industry doesn't know it.
Yeah.
But
what it is
there's this block that says you cannot deliver minerals through the skin.
Or you cannot deliver anything that's going to help somebody that isn't a prescribed, prescription, double-binded, tested, Montessato, what's the name of that?
don't name any transgressors. They might come and sue us.
Yeah. Okay, so getting back to the weight loss, we've talked a bit about different body types and different ways that we've grown, you know, because of our ancestors to take in food, and we need to burn the fat because that's the big log on the fire, as opposed to the carbohydrates, which are just the little twigs that just pop, and then you got to put more twigs on, right? Like if you've got a
yes.
good fire and you have two nice sized logs that are burning nicely. You know, that's a steady heat, and they'll burn for hours and hours and hours. But if you're just putting on little twigs that are, you know, the size of your, say, the width of your baby finger or something, and you're just throwing those on, they just go up, like, fast, and then you got to keep putting more on, because otherwise the fire burns itself out. So
that's right.
So that's really what we're talking about when it comes to fat. Now, we're not talking about, Martin, I know that French fries have lots of fat. When I go to McDonald's or Burger King or someplace like that, I can get lots of fat. So that's what I'm going to do now, right? I'm going to go and I'm going to eat French fries.
Well, they also come with a benefit of a lot of carbohydrates right there.
Because of the potato.
And the other, because of the potato.
Darn!
So the majority of what you're getting is actually the carb. And the same thing goes for the donuts, you know. And a third point to be made, I'm sure you were thinking that as you were jokingly saying whatever you said, that stuff is fried. Once you heat fats, they become very toxic, carcinogenic. You know, your body has to fight it and defend against it. It's not a nutrient. If you want to have fats as nutrients, you need to take them raw, unrefined, you know, in the form of, say, hemp oil or flax oil or coconut oil.
Okay, because I was going to say, what you're telling me now is to go get a big, well-marbled steak and cut out the raw fat and eat that, which is actually kind of gross.
That's not the prettiest picture I could hold in my mind.
But what you're really saying is some cold-pressed, non-boiled or fried oils, like you said, hemp, flax, seafood, like cod liver oil, for example?
Yes, that would be great, yeah.
Those are the types of oils you're talking about?
Yeah. Yes, that's, yeah. We have salba oil, which is just phenomenal. That's extracted from the chia. And this one lady that works with us, or for one of our contractors, has a bit of a weight issue. And with that comes a lot of inflammation. And she has sore muscles all over the place. So I said to her, look, get a bottle of this salba oil and start using it.
Mm.
Report back. And sure enough, you know, it didn't take her very long to come back and say, oh my gosh, you know, I feel so much better.
Yeah. And probably doesn't have that craving for carbohydrates. So she'll end up eating better.
Yes, hopefully so. I don't know. I'm not there watching it, but that's what I would expect.
Cool. All right. Well, we've kind of come to the end of our time today, Martin. I think we're going to have to talk in more detail about some of these weight loss issues, particularly when it comes to, you know, what to actually put in our mouth or what to look for. You know, maybe.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to the thing that I wanted to tell you about, which was the leptin technology that actually allows you to kick up the signaling and indeed help you switch from carb burning to fat burning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll have to leave it for the next podcast.
Yep.
Or else maybe we'll send people over to the website and they can find it there themselves. I'll tell them here now.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so the product that actually does that is called Weight Loss Accelerator. It's by a company called Max International. So if you go to www.life-enthusiast.com, under brands, find Max International, and there find Max WLX for Weight Loss Accelerator. You can buy it from us, but you'll be paying us the retail price. You can also buy it at a preferred member price directly from the manufacturer's website. So
nice.
you can pay $85 for the box of it to us, or you can pay $65 to the manufacturer and get it. So there's a link on our pages to connect directly to Max International. There are some really cool videos explaining the product, how it works, the exact science behind the leptin and insulin, and all of these issues as related to weight loss.
Cool. And that's at the life-enthusiast.com website?
Yes. Brand Max International.
Perfect. And if you want to listen to previous episodes of our show, you can go to lifeenthusiast.podomatic.com and you'll see over 100 interesting, exciting, thought-provoking, sometimes rant-filled discussions of the world of non-mainstream medicine, I guess. I don't know what to call
you're
it.
You're trying to be polite. Essentially, what we're saying is there are two schools of thought. One sees the body as a whole system that needs to be supported and it will heal itself. The other one sees the body as essentially a badly designed concoction that the doctor can fix, but it cannot fix itself.
In piecemeal. And I was actually going to say alternative health, and I thought, you know, we're not alternative health. We're the real health, and they're the alternative health. But since that's not the paradigm of most people, I was kind of stuck for what the description should be.
That's right.
We're turning radical, yeah, aren't we?
I have it on my website. Alternative medicine. Alternative to what?
Yeah.
Just look at the homepage.
Yeah. That's right. So thank you everybody for joining us. Martin, any last words before we sign off for today?
I apologize. There's not a discount coupon today, but the Max does not give us discount. I'm giving it to you so that you can go direct and get it at a discount directly from the manufacturer.
$20 off, that's pretty cool.
So, yes, people, thank you very much for listening. This is Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to